vanilla cream are my favorite.
Can you hear me? Romans chapter 12. And we're going to pick up where we left off. John gave us a little bit of an overview of the whole chapter. We are in this is number 117. Sadly, because of YouTube, we don't have all 117 up online, and we also lost a teacher whose teaching I have no desire to upload again. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to upload those studies that John taught, and then I'm going to go in the office and reteach the missing ones.
That's an idea.
In my office, I can brush my mustache, and no one cares.
We don't care.
Where are you getting all these weird brushes?
That's a weird brush.
That's the second weird brush.
That's a Christmas brush.
What's weird about it?
It's not normal. Okay, how about this? In my house, it is not normal.
Why?
I don't know.
Nobody has beards.
People in my family don't even like beards. Maybe it's a British thing.
It's just a brush. Yeah. It's just a small brush, and I have a big brush, and they're the same brushes people use for their other hair. It's just hair that's down here instead of hair up here. That's the only real difference.
It's unnatural.
I actually grow it better down here than I do up here now.
Okay, hair there in the air.
Hair there in the air.
Amen.
Wow. All right. What kind of tricks did we get ourselves into, Bob?
Revelation. I always want to say Revelation for Romans, and I'm in Romans. If you go back and listen, I'm constantly calling Romans Revelation. I get, when you get old, you do that. The only difference between me and you is you're not on being recorded when you do it.
Right. So you'll never know.
That's right. So let's go ahead and get started, and we'll open with a word of prayer. Ask Brother Johnny if you would.
Dear Lord, thank you for allowing us to continue to have the freedom to meet here, and even though we know what your word says about the end times, we're still praying you'll preserve the country a little longer, at least until the rapture.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And at this point, we're not sure how it can be done, but we know you can do it.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Amen.
So pray, Lord, you'll bless our meeting here and just help us to be attentive to your word so we can learn what we need to and be reminded of things we need to. And for your blessed fellowship today, in Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Last week we looked at verse 9, and I just want to read that and get us some context. Read verse 9 if you're there with me. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Now, I'd like for someone to tell us what dissimulation means.
I think it's kind of like cutting at yourself or kind of...
That's right. Jill?
I'm guessing it would be like making problems.
That sounds like it, but it's really something a little different than that. I mean, it has an element of that to it. Jenny's looking it up in her dictionary.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm just trying to think. What my mom always taught me to do is you take the word, and you're like, this simulation. It sounds like simulation. And what's a simulation? It's like a fake, not real version of
the
event.
You're really right on it right there.
So maybe dissimulation is, in other words, not fake, it's real.
No, well, you were actually closer with the original.
Okay, but...
Because a simulation isn't bad, necessarily, you know?
So a simulation is what you're going for. I was going for...
No, no, dissimulation is what I'm going for. You said simulation, right?
Right, like a holodeck.
But dissimulation...
A simulation.
Listen, what do people mean when they say you're dissing me?
Oh,
That's bad, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What does it mean? So dissimulation is to simulate, but in a bad way.
You're acting fake.
It means let love be without dissimulation. In other words, you have people. Johnny, what was you going
to
say?
No, my guess was noting the similarity to the word sameness.
Yeah, assimilation.
So I was thinking it would be more like without changing.
It's back to her, back to Jenny, and then she gave the actual. But it basically is all these people who say, I love you, and don't mean it.
Gotcha. Amen.
Right.
There are pews empty, for example, of people who told everybody they loved me.
Right.
They loved you. They loved this church. And then the slightest little thing, they're gone.
Yeah.
That's love with dissimulation. They didn't really mean it. I love Jenny, but she just ticks me off every once in a while. Jenny loves me. I get under her skin every once in a while. So do we just leave and never speak to you again? No, because I really do love her. She really does love me. So what does that say about someone in the church who gets ticked off at somebody and then never comes back? Gets ticked off at me and never comes back. And doesn't even come to you and say, listen, I've got a little problem. I want to talk to you about it. They just leave. That's love with dissimulation. Or it's also, they can continue coming to church to say that, but they go around always just trying to tear you down and always trying to undermine you and always mean to you and saying bad things. And then they turn around and say, I love you, love you, love you. Yeah, that's dissimulation. That's saying I love you, but you really don't. You're a hypocrite. You don't really love people. A lot of times it's just people in general they don't really love.
Definition.
She's going to read the Webster's. Is it 1828?
Yes. The act of dissembling, a hiding under a false appearance, a feigning, false pretension, hypocrisy. Dissimulation may be simply concealment of the opinions, sentiments, or purpose, but it includes also the assuming of a false or counterfeit appearance, which conceals the real opinions or purpose. Dissimulation among statesmen is sometimes regarded as a necessary vice.
Let's keep it in the personal realm here, which the context is love. Here's an example.
Don't be fake when you love people.
There's examples of it. And one example I've given, two or three, but another example is, for example,
that
I love you, but not enough to risk hurting your feelings by telling you something I need to tell you. That's love with dissimulation. I'm going to tell you something. I love everybody in this room. I try to prove it, and I pour myself into this ministry to prove my love for the. But I also will tell you things that might make you mad, because I love you enough to tell you the truth.
Because we need it. We need it. Amen.
If you get the coronavirus vaccine, you're stupid.
Yep.
I'm telling you that because I love you and don't want to see you sick and dying. But there are people out there who know it's killing people at a high rate over 80. It's the vaccine is.
Mm-hmm.
It's killed 20-some people just in one segment of it being implemented. And, of course, if you're getting your news from the places I've told you, I love you enough to tell you that if you're watching ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, and even Fox News, you're stupid.
Amen.
I'm just telling you that because I love you.
Stop
being stupid and listening to a bunch of Democrat, Catholics, and communists give you your news. Amen. Channel 4, Channel 10, Amen. Channel 6, Channel 28.
That's right.
I posted some links on MeWe to prove it. Just there's.
Now, on our website. Now, some of you, there's at least one here, maybe a couple, don't really get on the internet. But if you're on the internet, all you have to do is go to bbfohio.com. We have resources and links. And then there we have about a dozen news sources. Now, think about that. This ministry is providing all the links you need to get the news. Only a couple people ever utilize it.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
So that's but on our website.
What's my responsibility? You ought to go there once in a while. It's a nice website.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
BBFOhio.com. We spent a lot of time and money putting that out there. If you go to resources and links, you'll see news links, and there's about a dozen of them. And you can get news from those sites and not have to worry about it coming from a bunch of unsaved Democrat Catholics and communists.
Okay, you go resources and links, bbf.org, to resources, links, to links.
And in the links, you scroll down, you'll see news links.
And it's .com, not .org.
Yes, okay. bbfohio.com.
Scroll down and see news.
And I'm not saying this to be mean.
I'll show you later.
I want to tell my kids.
Again, I'm not saying this to be mean, but pay attention. We put bbfohio.com on all of our materials. It's everywhere. And I've had people who come here for weeks and months and say, do you have a website? Can you imagine that?
It's right up there on the right there on the
like right behind your head.
You know, and I'm not saying this to boast, but it's just the fact that there are literally hundreds of thousands of people around the world who recognize me because of a video I made.
Yeah.
New versions or Vatican versions.
Yes, it's that one.
We've still got people here who've never watched it. And the people online be, why wouldn't they watch it? I don't know. I'm not going to name names, but I have my own flesh and blood who claim to be Christians who won't sit down and watch that. Why? That's how people are.
Yeah.
That's love with dissimulation. It is. It's feigned. I guarantee you, Jenny, I'll tell you, you go put the time and money into producing the website or video, I will visit it. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not full of crap. I love you. I love, Johnny has shown me things. I'll go, Mark Bass sent me a book. Why do I sit down and read that book? I love Mark.
Aw.
And if people love you and you pour yourself into something, they're going to pay attention to it. So I took longer than I wanted to on that one point, love, let love be without dissimulation. But it's so prevalent today. Love with dissimulation is so prevalent. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Does anybody need an explanation about that? I believe so. What is evil? There's a bunch of examples of it where Christians are still involved with it.
Yeah.
Amen.
So if that doesn't need an explanation, why are so many Christians involved in things that are evil?
Amen.
I'm going to just upset a bunch of people, but I'm going to say it. Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube are evil. Their agenda is satanic, and their desire is to put an end to every local church like this one.
That's right.
Yeah.
And to completely control speech. No more free speech. It's what our forefathers fought and died for, and they stand against it.
Yeah.
And yet there are millions of Christians who remain on those websites, making them filthy, stinking rich, so they can use that money to fight us. We're supposed to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. One big example is the local church. I believe most professing Christians in the United States of America today reject God's word when it says not to forsake the gathering yourselves together.
Yeah.
And on any given Sunday, the mass majority of Christians in America are not cleaving to that which is good. They'll go to NFL games, the National Football League, that is totally antichrist and pro-sodomite.
Yeah.
They'll go, and even good things on any other day. There's nothing wrong with fishing. There's nothing wrong with camping. There's nothing wrong with a lot of these things, and yet they'll do that instead of what God has told us to do. Right there, just those two examples, about two-thirds of American Christianity needs to repent.
Amen.
Martha texts, she gets on the website and looks at all the stuff.
Yeah.
She does it without vision.
Now, let's just say like this. Martha is blind, and she spends more time on our website than probably any two or three other people combined. I mean, you know, generally speaking. Isn't that something? She benefits from it.
Yep. Amen.
So, verse 10. We continue. Read that with me. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Now, I'm going to ask Jenny to read Romans 16:16. Please listen so I don't say it 10 times. Linda, can you read 1 Corinthians 16:20? Jenny Albo, 2 Corinthians 13:12. Jill, 1 Thessalonians 5:26. Now, I think a hug is an example of being kindly affectionate one to another.
Oh, brother.
But I want you to see what the Bible says over and over. Read that, Jenny.
Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you.
Did you hear that?
Amen.
Linda, 1 Corinthians 16:20.
All the brethren greet you. Greet you one another with an holy kiss.
Jenny Albaugh, 2 Corinthians 13:12.
Greet one another with an holy kiss.
Jill, 1 Thessalonians 5:26.
Somewhat redundant. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss.
Well, if it's so redundant, why doesn't anybody do it?
And if it's so redundant, why does God said it? Because it's important.
I think God said it because he knows everything.
Yeah.
Four times in Scripture. How many times does God say things that Christians do regularly? He doesn't even say more than once. But greet, now, a holy kiss, it's been described as just a little like peck on the cheek. You don't have to slobber on anybody.
Please don't slobber.
But even just a little hug, not a full frontal body contact hug that people do that's inappropriate.
Yes.
But you just put a little hug around the neck.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who don't want you to touch them.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, you know, because they'll say, I don't like that guy. He's always hugging. Well, I'm one of those guys, unless I know you don't want a hug, I'll come up and hug you.
Yeah,
because the Bible seems to indicate we're supposed to do that.
Yeah,
Jenny?
It does.
I was just going to mention, in my family, we were actually brought up that you kiss people goodbye, and it is on the cheek.
Yeah.
It's nothing, really. It's just showing your family member you love them.
But that's how far removed most people are from the Scripture, because if you told them God said that four times, they'd say, no, he didn't. Maybe
Except
once.
I think for us, it's probably more of a British tradition, though, rather than a biblical tradition.
Well, the British traditions are based on the Bible.
Yeah.
They didn't make it up themselves.
Like tea drinking?
Well, not, I don't know about tea drinking, but to sit around and fellowship like they do at lunchtime and all that is based in... Yeah, Joe?
Yeah, I was going to say, when I went to England, first thing my cousin did, kisses on the cheek.
Yeah.
And his mother always wants a kiss on the cheek.
Except this year.
Yeah, except COVID's changed a lot of that. Yeah, John?
Oh, yeah.
At this one church, there were two door greeters, and the one guy always got handshakes, the other guy always got hugs. So the guy that got the handshake says, how come you get all the hugs, I get all the handshakes? And he said, watch this. Yeah, he had open arms, that's why he got the hugs. The other guy always stuck his hand out.
Right.
Uh-huh.
That's the secret.
Yeah. And that's what a lot of people do because they don't want a hug. They put that handshake out there.
Right. So as soon as you sit in the head, you're just going to get a handshake. You're not going to get a hug.
And then, of course, common sense has to kick in. If you're sick, don't go around doing
it. Yeah, there is.
Well, yeah.
But it also is related to what the rest of the verse says. In honor, preferring one another, meaning it's not about you. You're supposed to be thinking of what can I do to show my affection for somebody I love. And so what do you do? Well, if you know they don't want a hug or a kiss, then you don't do that. But if you know or at least think that they're okay with it, giving them a little hug, you know, and, you know, you don't even have to touch a person, really. The holy kiss, you see people, they do it all the time. They don't even actually make skin contact.
The Europeans do that. They
yeah. I'm not, and I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I'm not on a crusade to try to get everybody kissing one another. I'm just saying that how far have we come from the Scripture when most Christians don't even know what we're talking about is in the Bible four times like it is.
Amen.
Continue on now, verse 11. These seem disconnected, but these are really all connected to someone who is all about others and not about themselves. Read 11 with me. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. John Albaugh, look over at Colossians 3 and read verses 23 and 24. And Doug, read Acts 18:24-26. Now, sadly, a lot of Christians seem to think that their occupation, their secular employment.
Acts what?
18:24-26. And they think that their employment is somehow disconnected from their relationship with the Lord. I got news for you. It's not.
Mm-mm. Amen.
And John's going to tell you just one of several examples we could cite. Colossians 3:23-24. Read that.
Let
And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ.
Amen.
This is what I'm about to say is an absolute fact. If you have a job where you're earning money, and you not in your mind, you are not thinking about it, that job, this way, then you're not right with God in your mind. You don't work for that employer. You work for the Lord.
Amen.
And so when you do your job, you're not thinking about what you can get by with not doing. You don't think about how you can, you know, not please your boss, you know, whatever. You're working as unto the Lord if you're right with God.
Amen.
And I can say, so I've been out of secular employ for a few years now, and I was always being congratulated or patted on the back or whatever by my supervisors for performance, my work performance. Mm-hmm. They would take me in and give me job reviews, or what do they call them?
Evaluations.
And I've told this before, you may have heard it, but one woman said, what could I do to get everybody in this department working the way you do? And I said, well, I have to tell you, number one is I don't look at you as my boss. I look at Jesus as my boss. I work every day to please Jesus Christ, my Savior. So if you can get those people to look at it that way, it'll change the way they work. Not only their fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, you know, even their ethic, their overall ethic. They won't waste things. They won't steal things. Including time off that belongs to my employer. That's why I was telling Doug joking this morning, but I can walk and chew gum at the same time. If I'm working and I'm talking, I'm always working. If I'm doing something I can't work and talk, I tell the person, well, I'll talk later. I got to focus on what I'm doing. That's how you do it. If you just stop and start standing around talking, you're stealing from your employer.
That's right.
And you're not working as unto the Lord. There's a break time. There's before work and after work. That you're not on the clock and you can just stand there and talk. But when you're on the clock, if you have the right biblical work ethic, you stay busy. Unless, for example, you're a security guard and you're just sitting there and no one's around. And your boss says it's all right if you're looking down at a magazine once in a while or listen to the radio or something. I had a job where I could listen to audiobooks in the Bible.
Nice.
And so I did.
You're paid to do it.
And I think, Jill, you got the kind of job where once in a while, you know, there's nothing to do. And you got to stay there ready for the next person. But until they come, what do? Well, there's other things to do. But that's something you know. And you also know when you're cheating your boss. You also know when you're sneaking and not doing what you ought to do. Look at Acts 18. Fervent in spirit. I just want you to hear this about Apollos.
A certain Jew named Apollos, born of Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the ways of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spoke and taught diligently in things of the Lord, knowing not only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogues, when Aquila, something like that,
yes,
and Priscilla had heard, they took him into them and expounded to him the ways of God more perfectly.
So this guy was known for one thing. He was still fervent about John's teaching because he hadn't heard the new revelation of Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. He just knew what John had taught. But what was he known for being? Fervent. Now, today, you're going to be called a fanatic.
Right.
You have to understand, words that are used by people are sometimes used as in a way to try to slander you. In reality, they're complimenting you.
Yes.
If someone says, we're going to show in our current events update, but people are saying that Trump supporters are radicalized. and they're trying to paint you up like a terrorist.
Uh-huh.
Radicalized. Mm-hmm. They say the same thing about Christians who believe what the Bible teaches about Jesus being the only way to heaven. All other religions are false. There is a hell.
Amen.
As we were talking about, there is a heaven, but that everybody's usually fine with there being a heaven, especially if you say all good people go there. And, but hell, only bad, really bad people like Hitler go to hell. And on it goes, people. But if you believe these things and you openly, I mean, they walk into your church and you're singing John 14 and Acts 4:12. You don't believe these, then you're going to go to hell. You won't get away with calling Jesus a liar.
And all
who reject the way end up in the fire. They'd go running out of here. Most professing Christians would think you're a bunch of nuts. You're radicalized. You're fanatics. You know what we are? We're just demonstrating we are fervent in spirit. That's all that is. And you know what? If you can go back 50 years, 100 years, 500 years, 2,000 years, that's what Christianity was always like.
Amen.
Fervent. And they used to use the word militant.
Amen.
And I remember Bob Jones Sr. and reading some of the old preachers back in the early 20th century, J. Frank Norris and all those guys, and they would talk about the church militant. You use that today, people are like, ooh, I don't want to be militant. I just want to be sweet. We just need to be sweet and kind to one another. Yeah, that's what the preachers are like. Yeah, Doug, do you want to say something?
Yeah, if you go down on campus there, and you love the Buckeyes, you're a fan. But if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a fanatic.
Right. That's right. That's and that's all fan is a shortened version of fanatic.
That's right.
It's a good thing if it's about the sports teams.
Yeah.
It's a bad thing when it's about the creator of the universe who died to pay for your sins.
That's slander.
Look at verse 12 now. You can only do this if you've done all the above, by the way. Read verse 12 together.
Romans 12:12.
Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. You won't find anybody doing what it says here in verse 12 unless they're doing what's above. No one who's not fervent in spirit is going to be rejoicing in hope and patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. What's that mean? Like rejoicing in hope. That means even though we're seeing our country go to hell, Jenny and I are constantly reminding each other as we see this in our own home, because we're not around you all except for a couple days a week, so we have to encourage one another. And what are we encouraging ourselves about? God's going to win.
Amen.
And this has all been foretold, so don't be shocked when God's correct, when God's right. And what do? We rejoice in hope. We don't rejoice in the evil going on.
Right.
But we rejoice in hope. We know that in the end, it's all going to work out. God's going to work it all out.
Amen.
That is how you're patient in tribulation. Again, if you're not doing all the above, and including rejoicing in hope, you will not be patient in tribulation. Who are the people that freak out when they're facing tribulation? People are not doing all the above. And something bad is happening. Well, there's nothing wrong with saying, I'm going through a trial. Like, I appreciate prayer. But when you're freaking out and you let it affect your life and you start to shut down, I've had people say, I can't read the Bible or pray. I'm just going through too much. That's the opposite of, if you're going through too much, that's when you should be praying and reading the Bible more.
Amen.
I just can't come to church. My life's too messed up. The Bible says not to forsake the gathering of yourselves, as the manner of some is, even more as you see the day approaching. So as things get worse and worse, we should want to be here more and more. And people do the exact opposite. What did you say, Jenny?
There's a scripture that comes to mind, and it's it's about letting patience have its perfect work.
I think
knowing this, that the trying
meeting
of your faith worketh patience, James 1:3. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Amen. And then, again, if you're doing all the above, you'll want to then continue. It's like this is a trickle-down effect here. If you don't do what's above, you're not going to do what's below on this text. Verse 13, read that. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. You will not find people who are not doing, you, those who are not doing what's above, you will not find them giving. You will not find them, and I don't just mean the offering, although that's part of it, because when you give to the local church, then it benefits the saints at large. And it, and we can not only, I mean, somebody has to pay the bills, but and over and above that, we can do things like have Bibles and gospel tracts and books, DVDs, and all these things to help you during the week as you continue to read and grow and say. But then there's times where we just help people out. It's like if I had a new battery, I'd be giving it to John this morning.
Aww.
I don't have one, but don't carry them on me. But if I did, you'd get it. It's, of course, it had to be the right size and all that too. But but and if John were destitute, yeah, we talked about that before. He's, you know, the Allballs are able to pay their bills and God provides.
Praise the Lord.
But what if I, if John came in here and said, you know, for this reason, that reason, we've done what we're out to do, but we're really in a pinch and I can't have, I can't get a new battery. We'd make sure you got a new battery.
Amen.
Amen.
Distributing to the necessity, see, necessity of the saints. There are some churches that enable people who just won't do what's right.
Yeah.
And we're not going to be a part of that. But when people really have a need, we distribute to the necessity of this and give into hospitality. It's not because Jenny and I don't love everybody that we don't have you out to our house. You know, we've had a few of you out on a couple of occasions, but we live in a tiny house and it's way out in the country and that sort of thing. So what do? This is also a house.
Amen.
And so we're given the hospitality, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, and some of you, I can't come and visit you because you decide you want to have cats.
Yeah.
Aww,
and I can't come to your house or I'll get sick. Yeah. Now, I don't take that, you know, as an offense. I don't think you have cats just because you don't like me. You know?
Well, do we?
So what do? We can still be given the hospitality, and that's why we have extra meetings and things here.
Uh-huh.
How many of you had fun Thanksgiving?
Amen.
Yeah. How many of you had fun Christmas? What was that? December 19th.
Amen. Yeah.
Yes.
How many of you had fun at the movie night?
Woohoo!
You know, we can get together and get. And what do? We all bring a little bit of food to share. Thank you, Brother Doug, for the Tim Hortons this morning.
Amen.
What's he doing? He's given to hospitality. Why did he do that? I think Doug likes us.
He might.
I should use the right word. I think Doug loves us.
This is my family.
Yeah.
Amen.
And you know what?
Amen.
We love Doug.
Amen.
Not just because of the donuts.
Mainly.
It doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt.
And of course, you do all the above, then what are you able to do in verse 14? Read that with me. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. And now that's a really hard one.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm telling you that, you know, there was a time a few months ago when somebody came to our house and stole signs and ripped down our flags when we had up for the election. And there were a couple of people said, well, next time be ready for them, shoot them. And I'm like, you know, I'm not going to shoot people over signs in my yard and flags. And, you know, I ordered some more and put more out.
Amen.
And you know what? If they show up again at my house and I'm there, I'm going to step outside. This time I heard them out there, but I wasn't sure what it was until I heard the car going away. But next time, I'm going to step outside and just say, you know, you're wasting your time. I'm just going to put more up. That's all I'm going to tell them. And they'll take off running. If they were to stop and talk to me, I'm not going to curse them.
No.
I'm going to tell them, listen, you're not accomplishing anything. Come back next week. I'll have more signs for you. Amen. And we were out. Now, I'll get in somebody's face. I believe Jesus did it. Paul did it. And I'll do it. But just like we had a Catholic lady jump in Sean and his wife's face, I got in her face. I said, you are not going to intimidate or threaten our people out here on this street where we have freedom of speech. But I want you to know something. We're out here because we love you enough to tell you the truth.
Amen.
And you're involved in a satanic religion of Roman Catholicism who's lying to you. You need to open your Bible and read it for yourself. You must be born again. And I preach the gospel to them.
Praise the Lord. Yep.
Now, I could have said, you get out of here, you old hag. I could rip your head off and spit down your throat if I wanted to. You know, that's how some Christians do.
It's wrong.
Listen, when Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons come to your door, please don't slam the door in their face and scream at them. Just tell them what you know to be true, that Jesus Christ is God. Michael the Archangel isn't Jesus.
Amen.
And when the Jehovah's Witnesses. And Jesus isn't Lucifer's brother. That's what the Mormons believe. Jesus is the Creator who loved you so much that He came as a man to die as a man on the cross and pay for your sins. You can just say that and say, now, and that's all I have to say. Now, it says bless them. I don't say God bless your efforts or anything like that. You can say have a nice day or whatever, but you know, don't bless their efforts to pull people into their false religion.
Right.
But you can say, you know, and that's all I have to say. You'll have a nice day. Shut the door. Don't slam it.
Right.
You know, scare them running out. Uh-huh. There's no. That's what people do, sadly.
Don't sick your dog, Mom.
No.
We'll sick our cats. That's nicer, right?
Scare away the people in cats your signs.
They'd show you in your lap.
Yeah, or just get recorded. Go.
Yeah, you do that.
The
yeah.
Gunshot. See how they'll scare away.
And take Cammy and record her, and then change the reverberation, everything, and she'll go from rah, 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 to rah, 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 you know.
Hey.
Okay, so then what do? Verse 15. You handle your enemies better. You also should handle one another better when we go through bad stuff. Read verse 15 out loud. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. It doesn't say come up with some profound philosophical response to their tragedy and try to set them straight.
Right.
And don't lie to them. Someone dies and don't say, God must have needed an auto mechanic up there. That's why he, you know, killed Fred while he was working on his car.
Uh-uh.
That's what people say, and it's ridiculous. People don't need your wisdom in times of tragedy. What they need is this right here. They need for you to rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Something great happens. You don't have to one-up them. You know, Johnny comes in and says, hey, I got a raise today. Well, you wouldn't believe a couple years ago what happened to me. I got a raise. I bet it's bigger than yours. That's how people are. Someone brings in good news and it's like, it's got to be about me, so I'm going to tell them a big story. No, just say, that's great. I'm not going to name names. I try to be very careful, but there's somebody I worked with. Every time somebody came in with any bit of good news, they one-upped them. And it was a big joke. And so sometimes people would come in and just make stuff up. Just to hear her. Oh, I just gave away the sex, but I'm not going to give the name. And someone would say, I got a new car. Oh, you know, me and my husband. Well, she's married now. I better stop. I'm going to give it away who it is. We got a brand new car, and it's, you know, but that's the way it always was.
It doesn't matter what it is. Some people do that. That's
yeah. It's me, because it's about me. And so something good happens to you, it's about me. And it's just, you should rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them. Verse 16. It now says, among Christians, what's it say? Verse 16, read it. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Be of the same mind, one toward another. It means, no, this isn't just about strangers. This is about people that are your brothers and sisters in Christ. We should be that way about, you know what? The old saying is true. Familiarity breeds contempt. You need to keep that in mind, because whether it's somebody you see every day, like your spouse or your children or the children, their parents or whatever, people you work with every day, but even people you just see once or twice a week, the familiarity can just make you not look at them the way you ought to anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
And you should be of the same mind one to another. All that stuff above, you should do that in this body, this local body. We should be that way one to another.
Amen.
And it says, mind not high things. Johnny, go over to Psalm 131 and read verse 1 when you get there. And back down here to my wife, Romans 11:25.
Did Janie read yet?
Oh, Janie sits behind Jenny, and I never see her. Janie, Romans 11:25. Out of sight, out of mind is another good saying.
She needs to get taller.
No, she sits right behind Jenny. I can't see her. And Linda, if you go to, or Jenny, Proverbs 28:11. Now, it says, mind not high things. Go ahead and read that, Johnny.
And which verse was it?
One.
21:1, okay. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters, for things too high for me.
Now, that describes most fundamentalist preachers today. Instead of simply teaching verse by verse through books, you got every week's got to be a life-changing sermon. And they're going to show you something you've never seen before because he's so spiritual. And that's not what God has called us as teachers and preachers to do. And that's not what you're supposed to be about as the, you know, rest of the body. It's the whole body is supposed to be about what? Learning God's word. It's a joke, but it's true. Most fundamental Christians have heard so many life-changing sermons, they don't even know who they are anymore. Uh-huh. And that's a joke, but it's really true. Because instead of getting the simple line upon line, precept upon precept, verse by verse, the way God wrote it, week after week after week, most Christians are getting these, we're going to do a series on the family, a series on stewardship. That's a real favorite, because they get to talk about giving to the church more. A series on how to be so happy your head explodes. And I know some of you heard me say that before, and I've promised to bring that series, and I haven't yet, so I'm sorry. But what were you supposed to do? Mind not high things. Stick to what God's word says. Thank you. Oh, it is. Not
27.
Oh, I guess I am running out of time. So, well, that's where I want to read those texts. Go ahead, Janie.
For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, right? Mm-hmm. That blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in.
See, being wise in your own conceits is what's caused all these churches to say they're now Israel and not the church. That's where it'll lead you, that kind of error. Linda, Proverbs 28:11.
Isn't that somebody else's?
Oh, I mean, Jenny, okay. I'm sorry.
The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out.
See, a lot of folks, some of you here, we've had this conversation. In the churches, somehow the rich people somehow become the smartest people.
Uh-huh, yep.
Yeah. The fact a man can make money doesn't make him smarter than the other people. And some of them are crooked, and that's how they make their money.
Yep.
And that's who gets on the boards.
That was our previous place.
And it says condescend to men of low estate. But that's the opposite of the model that most churches are following today.
Right. Yep, definitely.
So we're out of time, but that's how I wanted to end it, was by reading the last, from 17 on. This is Paul's summary of what we read above. I got a paragraph marker, one of those pilcrows, and this is what I believe they put that there, because this is Paul's summary. So go ahead and read that with me from 17 to the end of the chapter. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So that will end, and that will give us, take us up to John. Will start us in Romans 13, where we're going to see some real application to the idea of government. And John's got, I know he's got a lot of good stuff to tell us about government. And and people and all that, history and all that.
Now with that teacher, so, now with the LM.
Yeah. So let's close the prayer, and then we'll get ready for the 11 o'clock service. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding us and teaching us. And we always look forward to the next teaching, but we would also look forward to being raptured before that. Yeah. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. In the meantime, find us obedient to what we read this morning.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.